Thank you. Again, we come to our studies in the book of Kings, dealing with this man, Elijah, the prophet of the Lord. I think if there's any man in the Old Testament among the prophets that is so appeals to one's heart is this man, Elijah, because he was prophesying in a day when the whole nation of Israel was in idolatry, in moral corruption, and were absolutely indifferent to God. Now, we've been dealing with this man, Elijah, of how he's the one who came from the presence of the Lord and hence was bold in his righteousness and pronounced judgment. And the first test was, go and hide thyself. And for 6 months, God commanded the ravens to feed him. Notice the provision God made for him. God's not going to leave his servant. That's for sure. And then the second test was, go and up to a place called Zarephath near Sidon, and I have commanded a widow woman to feed thee. First of all, I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Now I have commanded a widow woman to feed you. Now there's no question in my mind that she did not know that God had commanded her to feed this man Elijah. But God knew this woman. He knew the score. And we don't want to go further into that except to say that there was no room for pride here. No room for egotism. This man who had shut the heavens must now be taken care of by a widow. A poor widow had very, very little. And he must depend upon this woman to sustain him. And you remember how God, day by day, not all at once, but day by day, he supplied their need for 3 years. I tell you, when I think of that, I think of the fact that how long those 3 years were. What was he doing? Just waiting on God. Why didn't he get out and prophesy? No, just waiting upon God. He was obedient. This is one thing you've got to see about Elijah. He was obedient to God. And here you have the victory in his testing. To live 6 months by a brook is not so bad. Be fed by ravens, but to live year after year after year for 3 solid years waiting for God to speak. My friend, this is a terrific test. It's an amazing thing. We can walk with God in the desert. We can walk with God on Mount Carmel. But can we walk with God at home? We grumble about our lot, the daily chores, the love for material things and so on. But here this man Elijah for 3 years manifested patience, meekness, godliness, and yet power in the home. So at the end of 3 years, she had to say, now I know that thou art a man of God, and what you say is the word of the Lord. 3 years sitting, as far as the world was concerned, he was doing nothing. Please do not be too quick to judge some of God's servants who feel they must be away for a while and be alone with God. How can we meet the present situation right where we live unless we walk with God? Now we're going to see another side of this in the next chapter. And we come now to chapter 18. And again we see his obedience. If you have your Bibles, will you please turn with me to chapter 18 of 1 Kings. Came to pass after many days, that would be 3 years, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself to Ahab, for there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And he goes on to say that when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land unto all the fountains of water, unto all brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way, Obadiah went the other way. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and he fell on his face, that is, Obadiah did, and he said, Art thou that, my lord Elijah? And he said, I am. Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver your servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. When they said he's not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found you not. And now you say, Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here. It shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will slay me. For I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Let me just stop here for a few moments. I read that passage because I want you to get the text in your mind. Thus far, this man, Elijah, has manifested two wonderful things: his obedience to the word of God and his submission to the will of God. Now, in chapter 17, God said to him, Go and hide yourself. That was after he had shut the heavens. Go and hide yourself. Now he says, Go and show yourself unto Ahab. Now remember, Ahab is the king, and he's vowed he'd kill every prophet he could find, every prophet of Jehovah. And in these first few verses, you'll find where Ahab is more concerned about his mules than God's people. He's more concerned about material things than the people of God, seeking grass instead of seeking the Lord. He had 3 years has gone by, and still he's not seeking the Lord. In spite of the judgment of God upon Samaria, he still does not seek the Lord. You know, I think of that verse in Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 7, where it says, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. 3 years, and still he's not seeking the face of the Lord. It may be I'm talking to some today, if I may ask the question. How many years have you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know the historical facts that Jesus Christ came and died for you. Have you come to the Lord yet? Have you come to the Lord yet? Here is a man, Ahab, who for 3 years was under the judgment of God. 3 years of grace. And still, there was no seeking of the Lord. May I say that the time left for men upon earth in this day of grace is very brief. And I would re-quote that verse from Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek you. You seek the Lord while he may be found. You call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, for he abundantly pardoned. I know this was spoken to Israel. I'm using it for you today. The Lord is still gracious. He's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. He's long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So Elijah went over and he met Obadiah. Now remember this, Ahab went one way and Obadiah went another way. What for? Seek pasture, for try to find some grass for their cattle. There's no thought about the people of God. Now look at Obadiah. I want to mention this because Obadiah gives to us a picture of a lot of professing Christians today. Now, I'm going to be frank about this. Notice that we read that Obadiah was a man, in verse 3, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. He was the governor of Ahab's house. How in the world did this man who feared the Lord greatly keep his job as the governor of the house? Well, I'm sure of one thing. Even though he feared the Lord greatly, he was a compromiser. He had to compromise to keep his job. He knew that Ahab would kill every prophet of Jehovah. Now, don't try and rationalize this by saying, well, you've got to give him credit for one thing. He took 100 of the prophets of God and hid them by 50s in a cave and fed them bread and water. That may be true. That does not excuse the fact that he was in the wrong house. What in the world is a man who feared the Lord greatly in the house of the murderer of prophets? This man who was an idolater, immoral, corrupt, evil. He had to compromise somewhere. You see, it was not convenient for him to stand for God in the house of Ahab. He had no moral fiber. Why, man, he could say, this would mean my job. No. He had absolutely no fellowship with God nor his people. Though he feared the Lord greatly, doesn't mean he had fellowship with God. May I say this, and I say this sadly, there are many folk who profess to love the Lord Jesus Christ, but their lives are lives of compromise. They do not walk with God. The important thing with them is their job and the material things they can get. And you'll notice, too, he was full of self-justification. He said to Elijah, listen, if I go and tell Ahab you're here, do you know what'll happen? The Spirit of God will take you away, and when I bring Ahab here, you won't be here. And then Ahab will kill me. He's more concerned about himself. He's full of self-justification. In fact, he reminds Elijah that he was the fellow who took care of the prophets and hid them in a cave. But notice, please, Obadiah had no testimony before God. He had no testimony before Ahab. He had no testimony for the people of Israel. I want you to mark the contrast to this man Elijah. Elijah could say, Jehovah before whom I stand. Obadiah was more willing to stand before Ahab than he was willing to stand before God. There's much I could say about this, and I do not want to be critical or judge. In fact, I wouldn't want to judge anybody. They must stand before God. But I'm afraid there are those today who would rather hear the plaudits of the world and then get the glory of the world and the praise of the world than to humbly walk before God. My friend, where are you? Where am I? Does this not get right down into the place where we live? Am I so living before God that my life, my testimony will be for the glory of God? Or am I going to compromise the truth of God for the sake of world praise or world glory or material benefits? Or am I going to follow the pattern of Elijah? In fact, my heart runs after Elijah. Even though Elijah felt, I'm the only one God's got left. Now, he was wrong in that. Don't misunderstand me. Elijah was wrong when he said, I'm the only one you've got left. For God says, wait a minute, I've got 7,000 who have not yet bowed the knee to Baal. 7,000 in Israel. But only God knew who they were. Obadiah was one of them. He feared the Lord greatly. He was in the wrong house. He was not standing before God. He was more willing to compromise and stand before Ahab, the murderer of prophets, than to stand in the presence of Jehovah, his God. My friend, can I be blunt and ask you the question? Where do you stand? Are you more concerned about what the world thinks about you? Would you rather have the approbation of God than that of men? Would you seek the glory of God rather than the glory of men? Now let's come down to it then. After Obadiah began to justify himself, we read these words. In verse 14, it's Obadiah speaking. He said, "Now you say, go tell my lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he will slay me." And Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. Do you know, it's kind of got me when I was reading that and meditating upon it. You know, this man Elijah must have spent much time in the presence of God. In fact, I would say those 3 years he was living on the widow and living with the widow and her son, I'm sure he continually waited upon God, waiting for his command, waiting for orders. Now he receives his orders. Go and show yourself to Ahab. What am I to tell Ahab? The rain's coming. And now we find that Elijah calls the king, Ahab, to come to him. Go and call your lord, Ahab. "Oh, no," said Obadiah. "Yes, you call him. I'll meet him today." And you'll notice, instead of the king calling the prophet to him, the prophet of God called the king to come and see him. Who do you think in God's sight is the greater of the two? Well, certainly not Ahab. I repeat it again, how often we have a wrong conception of values. A wrong conception of value. You go back to your Old Testament, the book of Genesis. Who was the greater? Jacob? Or the mighty Pharaoh in Egypt? Why, of course, you say, Pharaoh. Oh, no, not in God's book. Jacob. When Pharaoh came in the presence of Jacob when he was an old man, Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And as Hebrews chapter 7 says, the one who blesses is greater than the one blessed. And in the book of God, in the scriptures, Jacob, who knew the living God, in God's sight, was far greater than Pharaoh, the mighty monarch of the empire of Egypt. In this case, what is it? Elijah is greater than the king. Now the king wanted to kill Elijah. In fact, he had sent messengers all over the kingdom. He even gone to other kingdoms and said to these other kingdoms, "Is Elijah here?" They said, "No." "Well, you take an oath. Are you sure he's not here?" No. Willing to fight other kingdoms if they were hiding Elijah. Now the word came through Obadiah. And I'm sure Obadiah was scared stiff. He said to Ahab, "Elijah wants to see you." And the king went to meet Elijah. I wish in some way we Christians could realize it. Instead of having an inferiority complex, if you stand and live in the presence of God, my friend, you're in the place where God can manifest not only his grace and his love and his compassion, but also his power. Jehovah, before whom I stand. I ask you again, as I have asked you the past few lessons on this man Elijah, where do you stand? Before Ahab? Before the world? Compromising to have the plaudits of the world? To please the world? Or are you determined in your own heart that the great desire of your heart and life is to please God? That his will, his purpose, might be accomplished in you, and may I add, in me too. For what I'm saying to you, my friend, I'm saying to myself, what place does the Lord of glory have in my life, in your life? Is he first? Are you obedient to his word? Are we willing to be submissive to his will? This is the evidence of a life lived in fellowship with God himself. The evidence of a life of fellowship is obedience to his word and submission to his will. This is so exemplified in this man, Elijah, and is not exemplified in this man, Obadiah. God grant we'll not be Obadiahs, compromising our lives, but rather we might be those who walk before God, having a testimony before men and before the world. Now, God bless you today.